Isaiah 48. What you see, this one verse, taking it out of its context, not to distort it, but to bring some points I think that are biblical, and I think you'll see that yourself. That's the hope. Isaiah 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I want to start it off with this one thought. Speaking of those that did not grow up in a Christian family, like these brothers were talking about, I can use them as examples. Dale being a Christian or growing up in a Christian family, and Will Cosby having the other side, the other extreme. But I want to speak to those that have not, that were not raised in a Christian background. If you remember, like Brother Will was sharing with us this morning, our life, and I speak as the part of Brother Will, being a man living in the things of this world, a man living the sinful lifestyle, a man seeking to be found in this life, a man that was looking to have a place and a place to say, I have a part in this life. I have something. I want you to remember the lifestyle that you lived, like I remember. And I'm not going to bring out all that filth. But towards the end of that filthy lifestyle that I was living, like many here have lived, not just Brother Will, not just Brother Roland, but I think the majority here were raised not in a Christian background. I think the majority were raised in a religious background, but living a wicked lifestyle. Do you remember, brother, when you came to your wits, when you came to your end, when you remember the fiery trial at the end of your road? Hey, I want to try to make it clear. In other words, you got to the end of yourself. You came to the end of self. You said, enough with the sin. You said, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. And God showed you this. And God put his affliction, his furnace of affliction in your life. He put the heat to your life, and he showed you the destiny of your lifestyle. Like he did me. He showed me, and I think he showed many here, but if we died in that situation, we were going to end up in that place called hell. I'm thankful for God's fire beforehand. I'm thankful that God applied his fire on my life, and he said, look here, this is a little taste of what's coming. This is a little taste. Look, you don't have peace. Look, you're without the Savior. Look, you're without God. I'm thankful that God chose me in a furnace of affliction. Amen. I'm thankful that He applied His fire to my life. Amen. He chose me in the furnace of affliction. How about those that been raised in a Christian family? I don't know that lifestyle. I don't know that lifestyle, but I can imagine. You know why? Because I have three children that have been raised in that lifestyle. I have three children that have been raised in that lifestyle, and a couple of them are already adults. I mean, you know, they're up there getting ready to move out. Like a few of you young ones here that have been raised in Christian lifestyle. And you've had your furnace of affliction. Why? Because you see the others, other kids, you see the others living a lifestyle of the lifestyle that some of us were raised in. And you say, why can't I have that? Or why do I have to be at church? Or why do I have to read my Bible? Why does Dad always have to give devotions? Why this and why that? That was your furnace, and that is your furnace, brother. I want you to understand, God has chosen you in the furnace of affliction. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I know there's some young kids right now, saying, boy, I wish I could be in a discotheque. Or I wish I could be this and that and the other. You know why I know that? Because my kids have that temptation. And I understand their battle. I don't understand their life being brought up as Christians. all their lives, but I understand their battles. God chose us. God chose us in the furnace of affliction. Now I want to also speak on God's plan. God's plan for the furnace of our refining now as Christians. Now we're Christians, and I think many Christians now avoid God's furnace. They want to make a smooth sailing to glory. Let me tell you one thing, brother. God has chosen you as a vessel unto honor. Not unto dishonor, but unto honor. He's chosen you to be a living sacrifice. And you know, I see this example in the Bible, how we are like the rough cut diamond. Or we're like that gold that hasn't been molten into that perfect metal or whatever it might be. Ring. Of course, not images. You know, we're like that gold. We're like that diamond. We need God's refining. You know, you need to thank God, like someone said this morning, that God hadn't applied all the fire at once. Be nothing left. But brother, don't you run from God's fire, because it's good for you, because that's how he chose it. He chose you in the furnace of affliction. This is a hard church. And I know it's a hard church. But you know what? I believe God's fire is here. And when you want to get up and leave because the preaching gets hard, you're running from the furnace of God. You're not letting God deal with you. And let me tell you one thing, brother, fire refines. And let me tell you one thing, you know, the more fire you got, God's merciful and God's patient, but the more fire you got, the sooner you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be ready. You're going to be that diamond that's been cut and say, here it is. Take the cutting now, my brother, my sister. Take the fire. Lose your face. Humble yourself. Take the whipping. Let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. We'll see Jesus one day. How many things did he go through? How about when God would ask the Old Testament people, these Jews back there, he would ask them to bring a sacrifice. What did he ask them? To bring the lame? To bring the worst animal you have? No, he said bring the best. Bring the best. And the majority of the sacrifices that God, what God did and back in that time was he would burn them. He would get the man would bring the best, or the woman, or these priests, they'd bring the best animal, the best heifer, or the best sheep, or whatever it might be, the best one of the flock, and God would burn it. You know, he wants you to give your best. Say, here it is. Have your own way. Remember Abraham. Abraham, I'm sure he struggled with that. You know, hey, gotta kill my son. I'm sure he struggled. If you don't see it in, you know, you see his faith, you know. You see Abraham, you see how he just went ahead and, boy, he was just obedient. And maybe he was. You know, I don't want to read between the lines, but I'm a man. And to offer up my firstborn, I'd have struggled. But he was faithful to obey God. God's asking you for something, to give it over. He's not asking for your vows. Oh, be careful how you vow, my brother. Us missionaries have heard many vows. And God's heard them too. Just want you to know what you say. Every idle word you speak, you shall give account. So will I. In other words, brother, God doesn't want your lip service. God wants your heart. God wants your best. You need to set that fatted calf out there for him. What is it? What is it? You think about it. You know what it is. Maybe it's your job. Missing a lot of church. You might need to move on somewhere else. Let me tell you what, he's our provider. It's not your job. Amen. It's not your job, but it's God. He's our provider. God is looking for some living sacrifice. He's looking for some sacrifices that he can say, thank you. That's a sweet savor unto me. Some of these missionaries have sacrificed a lot. You say, well, oh, they're running to and fro and they're driving these cars and everything is hunky-dory or whatever. You don't know the whole thing, Papa. Some of these missionaries have given up a more than what you ever given up. I want you to know that. They've set some fatted calf, says, here you go. They've heard God's call and they said, here it is, Lord. They've given of their things. I think these are just receivers. No, they've given of their things. They've seen a need. They said, I'm gonna have to let it go. How about you? What have you given up? What have you given up in a sacrifice to God that he can burn or he can receive and say, that's good. I think the church has forgotten the Great Commission. You know what the Great Commission is, right? We're working together with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his body. We are his body here on earth, and we're in a commission, a mission with our captain. We're here to do work together. And I know not everybody's called to be a missionary, but how about your part in God's commission? If you're doing something, brother, and I know there's some good godly saints here that are doing something, because you know why? These missionary families wouldn't be on the fields. I just want you to know that. And if you're in God's will, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Give him glory and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm being used by you. But he don't want lame sacrifices. He wants real sacrifice. He wants pure sacrifice. Things given over unto him. None of this, well, I'm gonna put in my two bits. I'm gonna put in just enough to fulfill the Christian life. My part in God's commission. Think about it, brother. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to trust in him, and he wants you to work with him. He'll work through you if you let him. Revelations chapter 1, God's fire, his fiery furnace of affliction. Revelations chapter 1, how about the Lord Jesus Christ as our example here? Look at his description in chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And I think when I see this description of the Lord Jesus Christ, head and hairs, white as wool, as white as snow, his eyes were as a flame of fire, speaks to me of purity, speaks to me of that. And then he says, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. How come his feet? And how come like they burned in a fiery furnace? I think it's understood here that Paul was talking about judgment. He's the judge, but you know one thing? I think he was judged a lot. I think he had blessed feet. And like these missionaries that go out and they preach the gospel and the whole world does not receive them. And we are thankful, brother. I want you to know we are thankful that for a church that receives us. Think I'll come over here to give you the bat. I want you to know you are a blessing, because we're not received by many. But how about the Lord Jesus? He wasn't received by many. His feet burn as if they burn in a fiery furnace. The gospel feet. Go on. He says, I must needs go and preach in Samaria. I think that's what it said. I must needs go preach the gospel. How about you? Joint heirs with Christ. You know, he had to suffer some things. He had to go through the fiery furnace. He had to go through that affliction. But you know what? He was an heir of many things. And he said, and the Bible says, if we suffer with him, we shall be joint heirs together. Brothers, what I want you to understand is, have you learned the Christian life is not just hunky dory and a color of rose, and it is a blessing. I want you to understand it. I think you know that, but it also calls for your suffering, for you letting go, for you being a living sacrifice. Oh, we're not better than you. We fail just like you. We fail every day just like you. But brothers, I want you to know that God wants not just out of you, he wants out of us more sacrifice, more of ourselves given over to him. I want to go to glory. I'm going to glory, but I want to get there. I mean, right now, it'd be great. It'd be great. I'd let go of that truck any old day. And let go of the little one I got down there any old day. I'd let go of an HEB truck to walk doing God's will. Ain't hard to let go of things. It isn't hard to let go of things. Don't want nobody offended by my bad grammar. How about some examples of men that we see in the Bible? Men that have gone through God's furnace. How about Abel? Abel had to die at the hands of his own brother. You know, what we see a lot down there in Mexico is, and this is one of the hardest things. I say one of the hardest, not the hardest. I don't know what would be the hardest. I hadn't thought it out. But one of the hardest things to build a church is when someone starts believing or starts receiving and starts trusting in the Lord, a family member comes by and knocks them out from underneath and says, those guys are crazy. Those guys are the ones that make you drink things and you'd end up dying. You know, those are the false ones. You know, the Bible says many false prophets shall come in my name. And they knock them down. They murder them. They take their only chance. Well, I say the only chance, one of their only chance of being saved away from them. They're like Cain. And they do that. Now, and you're the same. I mean, you probably gone through the same thing with some family member. Brother, if you're going through it right now, hey, praise the Lord. Hey, I think Abel said, hey, praise the Lord, after you got killed. Praise the Lord, here I am, you know. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise the Lord for His fiery furnace. Praise the Lord when family members turn their back on you. Praise the Lord. How about Noah? Oh, praise the Lord for the message of the night, Bill. You know, we need some preachers that get out and have a voice like a trumpet. And that stomp the feet. And that shake the hand. Say, hey, you over there, you lost sinner, let me tell you about Jesus. God's looking for some men like that. God's looking for some preachers. He's looking for some Noahs. He's looking for some Noahs that are going to step out on faith and say, hey, God said build it. Build this ark. I'm going to do it. It hasn't even rained. I'm going to do it anyway because God said do it. You know, Noah, he went through a fire furnace himself. Did he not? All the mockers. All the ones that are out there drinking say, look, we're living it up. You know, maybe fornicating, doing all that. Hey, you can do it too. This and that. He had to submit his flesh. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is he had to put up with a lot for 120 years. But what did Noah do, even though all the people said, hey, you're nuts, crazy. Hadn't even rained. And you're talking there's going to be a flood. These stories that we see in the Bible, these men that we see in the Bible, they're real. They're real. They're not kid stories. They're real. Noah went through his fiery furnace. What fire furnace are you going through? I'm glad to see some faces here that hadn't been real faithful, but they're trying to be. Hey, brother, stay in that fire because God will pull you through. God wants to use you. Don't give up like many have done. How about it? Well, we talked about Abraham. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did I say it in Spanish? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Take it like you read it. These young men, they didn't say, well, I mean, they didn't say, well, because the world is doing it, I'm going to do it. Huh? They didn't say, because they painted their hair, I'm going to paint my hair, and I don't want to offend nobody. I know some guys that are around here forcing this situation. Some of these guys are forced. I understand that, brother. At least that's why I understood it. I don't know how much they forced you, but they didn't bow down to the statue. They didn't look to favor the king and see what the king would give them. No. They said, no way. No, we're taking a stand. Brothers, you and I need to take more stands for God's will, even though the furnace will be applied to our life because it's purification, and we'll be more ready to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They didn't do it, and they got rewarded. They got put in that furnace, and y'all know the story. It looked like Jesus Christ was in there with you. God will go with you. God will back up your decision. He'll go with you if you take a stand for Him. And we already heard about Paul, how much things you must suffer for my sake. I want to end it with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Maybe you're invited here tonight. Maybe you've heard the gospel and you're not even saved. Maybe you've heard it over and over and you're not even saved. You know, maybe you say, well, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like to come to a church where they're just going to preach hard. But, you know, they don't all preach hard. I think it's been shared a while back. You know, we're all different tools, you know, in God's plan. It's not all hard. I've heard some good, smooth, good teaching around here, and I've heard some good heart preaching. And you know, rebuke is not always pleasant, but rebuke is good. It'll show you something. It'll show you something. Like when you rebuke your son or your daughter, it'll show them something if you're in the right. 2 Thessalonians. Did I say second? Okay, I'm in first. 2 Thessalonians. I'm in my fire furnace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You might not be saved here tonight. I want you to know that you need to get in God's service. You need to give your life over to Jesus Christ. You need to give. I want you to know, and maybe you do know that. Maybe you've seen in your heart already that you're deserving of hell. You know, maybe you hadn't gotten to that point. Maybe you say, I'm not so bad. But, you know, you are deserving of hell. If you don't do like it says right here, chapter 1, verse 8, what the Lord will do, He says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Brother Christian, sister Christian, hey, rejoice in God's fire right now. go through times, lose your job for the Lord's sake. Go through these things. Put up with the heart preaching. Put up with being faithful. God will refine you. He'll prepare you for that better place. But you, my friend, that aren't saved, you that aren't saved, look at here. Look here. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I want to ask you here tonight, do you know God? Oh, I hadn't seen God. You can say, hey, preacher, you think you know God? I don't think. I know God. I know. I believe it. I have faith. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I know what He's done in my life. And that's not boasting. That is faith. I know Jesus. And only by faith are you going to please Him. If you're waiting to see God, to know Him, it's going to be too late if you wait to see Him. Because you're going to know Him, all right. You're going to know Him. You're going to know Him in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to obey the gospel? Do you even know what the gospel is? Here we're in a mission conference. Do you even know what the gospel is? It's good news. Good news. Jesus Christ paid it all. Paid it all. All our sins have been paid. That's good news. I have to worry about being a successful preacher, preaching just the right points and no, I don't have to worry about that because I'm saved. I want to be that. I want to be a good, spokesman for God. I want to be used of God. I want to be a good tool for God. But you know what? It's not by my works that I'm saved. I'm saved because Jesus died in my place and He died in your place. Have you trusted Him? He shed His blood for the cleansing of your sin, and He rose again the third day. He's alive, my friend. Amen. No, He's not left in the tomb. No, He's not. He's not like these other guys. He rose the third day. He arose. Jesus Christ is alive, and He wants to live in your heart. Are you playing religion? Are you just a member because of faith? Pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Oh, Lord, I pray You help all Your people to devote more of their lives to You, Lord. Starting from with me and all the rest of the brothers here, I pray You help us, Lord. I ask You to bless us and thank You for this petition, and I ask You to grant it as You will. And I pray for these that are lost, Lord, that You deal in their hearts. And Lord, do draw these people that they wouldn't fall in this flaming fire. Oh Lord, they wouldn't fall in this everlasting destruction. Oh Lord, deal in their hearts. Lord, don't let them get away from You. And I'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.